Good morning and welcome to Rochester Speaks. I'm Pat Rivers, and on this segment, we are happy to have back with us Dr. Bill Valenti, Senior Vice President of Strategic Advancement, Chief of Innovation and Staff Physician at Trillium Health, also Clinical Associate Professor of Medicine at the U of R School of Medicine, and now author. His new book, AIDS, A Matter of Urgency, A Doctor's Memoir, is out now, and what a book. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you. Thanks, Pat.
I want to say it was a pleasure seeing your smiling face every time I walked into Wegmans over the holidays as you graced the cover of the 55 Plus magazine.
Wasn't that something? And those potatoes, tomatoes on the front cover.
I saw that too.
Grown in my own garden.
Oh, that's something. They did a nice job with that article, giving you some free press there.
Very much.
I think you were on the cover once. It seemed like you were on there for 2 months. They kept that
it lasted. I had some staying power.
Well, congratulations on the book. It's quite an accomplishment to go from idea to publication. It's an engaging read of the truly frighteningly early days of the AIDS epidemic here in Rochester, where we didn't even know what it was back then. I remember I was a senior in high school, and they referred to it as the gay cancer, and that's all they knew.
Right, the gay plague because of the beginnings in gay men who had sex with men, and also in injection drug users. But you're right about the mystery, that it really came upon us, and it wasn't even clear in the beginning what was the problem in all these sick people who were sick, young people sick and dying, and we didn't know if it was a virus or some other kind of environmental thing, and we didn't know in the beginning how it was transmitted, how it went from person to person. So there were a lot of mysteries to be solved there in those early days.
And this book goes into depth on those early days here in Rochester,
right,
and what you experienced. Tell us a little bit about what went into the making of the book.
Well, today, in this modern era, there are a number of initiatives in New York State, other states in the U.S., global, ending HIV, trying to find ways to get more people on treatment, identify them earlier, stop HIV transmission. In New York State, it's called Ending the Epidemic by 2020. So we're pushing ahead with a very aggressive program to do more of what we've been doing all along toward this 2020 goal.
Mm-hmm.
But it also occurred to me that the people who are doing the work today are younger people, a generation or two below me, who didn't live through those early days. So part of this book writing was to try and give people some history of what it was like in the early days so you could understand why we could even begin to discuss ending HIV by 2020. So it's a perspective for those people who weren't there. And it's also interesting to note the number of people still around who remember those early days and who can relate to that story.
When was the peak year of infection here in Rochester? Was there?
Our first case in 1981, but the real peak was in the early 90s, where we had more than 100,000 cases in the United States that had been identified, and more than 1,000 or so in Rochester. Now, in the early 1990s, the drugs started to get better. We began to use some combinations. So that began to turn the epidemic around in terms of what we call the AIDS cocktail that helped people live longer.
I remember hearing about this.
Paved the way for a whole series of scientific advances, better drugs, better ways of keeping track of patients to see if the drugs were working, and beginning to slow down that epidemic and slow down the spread of HIV.
There were, I would imagine, many difficult times that you endured during this period that you cover in this book. You lost a lot of close friends, I would imagine, and otherwise. How does one mentally deal with that? I mean, that was quite a loss.
Well,
for you and others.
It was. It was a very difficult time. People who are in the book or who are still around talk about going to funerals on a daily basis that young people, a generation of people, was wiped out in the early 1980s.
Yeah.
And coping wasn't always easy. We survived by, well, looking to the future is that trying to learn from the experience, as difficult as it was in those days, to try and look ahead at ways to make it better, improve on our research efforts, better ways of taking care of patients, those kinds of things. The other thing we did was we played volleyball on Sunday, invented games, made home movies, and did a variety of silly things just to relieve the pressure because it felt like we were getting beaten up every day.
I'm sure.
So there was this team of the early HIV treatment team where we worked together, socialized together, played together, and tried to decompress.
Now, Dr. Susan Cohen, is that am
Cohen,
I pronouncing
yeah.
it? You mentioned her quite a bit in the book, and she was a major player alongside you in those early days.
Big HIV researcher, came along a few years into the epidemic, and very influential in terms of setting the research agenda that helped it pave the way for developing this HIV vaccine program. At Strong. The other doc in there is Dr. Steve Scheibel, who helped start Community Health Network with me. Community Health Network is now morphed into Trillium Health. And Ann Griep, then Ann Zettelmeyer, our first HIV psychiatrist. It's interesting because all of that early group, all of them were risk takers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had good jobs and a career path to follow, and then left the university to go out on this unknown adventure of trying to form an AIDS clinic at a time when there weren't any AIDS clinics in the United States, at least outside of hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the other part of the era was solving problems and answering questions that had never been asked before. Because we never knew what to expect when we went into the office the next day because it was always something just a little bit different, a little bit new. And it required, because of the severity of the epidemic, required that we be prepared for the unexpected and think on our feet. I call it, in recalling the era, it was a high-energy, high-stakes game. That the stakes were high. People were dying. Young people were getting sick and dying. And we still, in the very early days, didn't know what we were dealing with.
Was there a turnaround point where you realize, okay, we now know what we're dealing with, and now I think we've got this under control?
The turning point came when we were able to put the clues together and discover, and that was done by a number of other well-known scientists, Robert Gallo and others, who discovered the HIV virus,
mm-hmm.
From a family of viruses that was known to us, but a new strain, and link it to the cause of AIDS. The other big discovery that we sort of tripped over as we were dealing with the epidemic here was the idea of trying to treat people as early as possible, not waiting for their immune systems to be destroyed and waiting for them to get sick, not waiting for that, but trying to move forward a little bit, trying mm-hmm. to get what we call it getting ahead of the epidemic.
I remember the get tested campaign. I remember hearing that as soon as possible, get tested right away.
And get treated as soon as possible. The drugs weren't that great, but we knew they'd get better.
Right. This is Rochester Speaks, and we are speaking with Dr. Bill Valenti and his new book, AIDS, A Matter of Urgency. If this book were to accomplish one thing, what would that one thing be, Doctor?
It would re-energize people and put AIDS back, HIV and AIDS back into the forefront, because the stakes are even higher now in terms of really getting ahead of the epidemic and trying to we call it ending the epidemic, but at least reducing the number of new infections below the number of deaths, that's bending the curve. In other words, so it's reigniting interest and awareness.
It seems to have taken a back seat recently. It's almost like, oh, AIDS, is that still around? I thought they had taken care of that. Or that at least that's the mentality.
Right. For a couple reasons, I think. The drugs have gotten better. People are living longer. The other is it's a generational thing that the 20-year-olds of today never lived through those early days. So their experience with HIV and AIDS is, first of all, they've never known a world without AIDS.
That's true.
They've never known that. And the AIDS and HIV that they know is a more chronic and manageable problem, and less the death sentence of the early days. So it's a very challenging time to try and get ahead of this and stop HIV transmission.
So where do we stand today in terms of finding a cure? Are we any closer, or are we still making baby steps in that direction?
In terms of a cure, getting it out of somebody once they have it, that's a tough one.
Okay.
Baby steps, though, and there are some good baby steps, but it's taken 20 years to get to this point. A more reasonable way to deal with it in this era, use the tools that we have, better quick testing. We can do testing results in 20 minutes, much better and safer drugs, and also a drug to prevent HIV, this pre-exposure drug, PrEP, drug to prevent HIV in people at risk and keep them negative. Keep HIV
Which I've heard about. I've heard about this PrEP before. Just give us a little quick overview what that's about.
If you're HIV negative but at some risk because of your sexual activities, we can get you into a program where you take one pill a day, and that prevents, blocks HIV from entering the body. There's a regular follow-up program every couple months. We see people test for, screen for sexually transmitted infections.
Okay.
A variety of things. But what it is it sort of takes a new look at sexual health in high-risk people and tries to get to people before they get HIV and another tool to block.
As a preventive, yeah.
Prevent HIV. Being used worldwide today and very, very safe and very effective. So all of those things are coming together, and we can talk about ending HIV, but the perception of the average 20-something today, the people at risk, is that they still aren't entirely clear about what HIV is, how it's transmitted, how to lower the risk, those kinds of things. So it's there's another lifetime of work out there.
There is. It sounds like there is. But you do a lot of that over at Trillium.
We do. We've been doing HIV care since the early 80s and continue to do it, and also have a big prevention program as part of our sexual health program for LGBT people. We have a big PrEP, or this prevention program, and continue to do HIV care. And
you guys do amazing work over there at Trillium, a big organization, which really it gets bigger every day.
We have a big infectious diseases program. We continue to do that. We're accepting new patients at 545-7200, if I may.
Oh, absolutely.
TrilliumHealth.org is the
website. I was going to ask you if we want more information.
Well, and hopefully they won't have to push too many buttons to get in touch with, to make contact with a real person to set up an appointment.
Okay.
We've tried to remove some of the barriers. It's, you know, it's part of the heritage of the organization to be aggressive, get it done early and quick and be welcoming.
We'd like to have you back on to talk about Trillium because you guys have a big benefit, the White Party, every year.
Are you doing
that again
in
this year?
June of this year, yes. So that is that's coming up. The book is at Wegmans East Avenue in Pittsford.
I was going to ask you, if we'd like to pick up a copy, where can we find this book?
Wegmans East Avenue and Pittsford.
Okay.
Amazon.com. And also www.drbillvalenti.com.
Oh, that's you.
That's me.
Now, I noticed you published this yourself.
It's self-published.
Ah, okay.
It was my labor of love. I had to tell the story. The proceeds go to the Trillium Fund to end the epidemic. This is not a commercial venture. Although if somebody wanted to buy the story and
the
make
story
a movie.
Rights make it. I was just going to say, do you see a movie in your future?
Oh, I do. I see George Clooney as the.
that's who's going to play you.
playing
that's
my part.
It right there.
Why not?
That works. You kind of look like him. You know?
Oh, shucks.
This is a great piece of work, Bill. A lot of effort and love and emotion went into this. AIDS, A Matter of Urgency, a Doctor's Memoir by Dr. Bill Valenti. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this
my
morning.
Pleasure.
And like I said, we'll have you on again. Talk about Trillium.
Love to.